Hi, everybody. Bob Claster here, and I'm your host for Funny Stuff, half an hour of comedy, which is heard every week here on KCRW. Actually, we're heard twice this week. We start and end the weekend because the program, which has been heard at Friday nights at 7:30, is moving to Sunday nights at 10:30, and because this weekend contains the last Friday night in March and also the first Sunday night in April, you can hear me twice this weekend. But let's get on to the subject at hand, which is the last of the Stan Freberg shows. I hope you got to see Stan's presentation at the New Art last Monday night, because it really was delightful. He showed a lot of the things that we've been talking about, especially that we talked about last week. But now, in this show, we're going to tackle the United States of America and Stan's advertising career. And you'll hear a lot of very rare stuff, some of the longer ads that he's done, and well, I think you'll enjoy the show. Anyhow, let's get started with the United States of America.
I always thought history, as it was taught to me at Alhambra High School, was one of the most boring subjects in the world, you know, and the textbooks still used in high schools today are really incredibly boring. I mean, nobody ever bothered to make history entertaining. So I thought, well, maybe I would do it in an audio form, try to make history at least bearable. And then as I began writing the sketches with a man named Ken Soule, who was a very funny guy, then I decided to turn it into a musical and write some songs to it. So that's when I wrote Round, Round World and Take an Indian to Lunch and so forth. And it just blossomed and mushroomed into the thing that it became.
November 1621. By now, the white man has arrived in great numbers, not only at Miami, but at Jamestown, at Plymouth, and at Salem, Massachusetts. The Puritans have established a thriving colony, enjoying all the social and cultural refinements of a modern society.
Hiya, Harv. Who are you taking to the witch burning Saturday night?
Prudence Adams. Who are you taking to the Rotary Club luncheon?
I haven't got a date yet, but I hear it's going to be quite a spread.
Well, Mayor Pennypacker, how's it look for re-election?
Great, great, great. Never look better.
Yeah, what about the Indian vote?
What do you mean by that?
Well, you're not too popular with the Indians. They could lose you the election.
That's possible.
Well, they outnumber us.
Well, that's the trouble. You give them an inch and they take over.
But, Mayor, they were here before we were. We moved in on them.
So we did. Well, there's just something about them. They wear funny shoes. They don't even have buckles on them.
Be that as it may, election is Friday. You better make some gesture this week.
Like what?
Well, how about if you make a concession and pick an Indian as a running mate? You'd be sure to carry the Indian block.
What? Anything happened to me, you'd have a mayor that wasn't a Puritan. He'd probably take orders directly from Chief Powhatan.
Yeah.
Say, I got it. The big luncheon tomorrow. The one under the trees.
What about it?
We'll ask an Indian. That'll impress the rest of them.
We could even announce you're going to put one in your cabinet.
No need to go that far. Just have one to lunch.
It'll be great press.
Mayor Pennypacker comes out for equality. Justice. Votes. What a slogan. Take an Indian to lunch this week. Show him we're a regular bunch this week. Show him we're as liberal as can be. Let him know he's almost as good as we. Make a feathered friend feel fed this week. Overlook the fact he's red this week. Let him share our Quaker oats, 'cause he's useful when he votes. Take an Indian to lunch.
2, 4, 6, 8, who do we tolerate? Indians, Indians, rah, rah, rah. Take an Indian to lunch this week. Let him sit right down and munch this week.
Let's give in and all do the brotherhood bit. Just make sure we don't make a habit of it. Take an Indian to dine this week. Show him we don't draw the line this week. We know everyone can't be as American as we. After all, we came over on the Mayflower. Take an Indian. Not a wooden Indian, but a real-life Indian to lunch.
I was 13 weeks in the studio recording it. I wrote the songs, but Billy May orchestrated them and did a marvelous job conducting them. Judd Conlon did the voices, and I had a great cast of people.
And I understand that fairly soon we should be watching the shops for a special reissue of the United States
Capitol,
of America.
Capitol is reissuing it now for the first time in CD.
With
a couple of additional scenes, at least one additional. I'm mastering this very soon at Capitol now, and we're trying to decide whether to put a couple of scenes in. One of the scenes that I know is going to go in that was not in the original album was The Discovery of Electricity with Benjamin Franklin.
Well, that's very exciting. Anything, any new, even if it's not brand new, any newly issued work from you is always something to look forward to.
Good. Well, it'll be about 8 minutes longer than the original USA.
Well, there should be room for it on a CD.
Yeah, I think so.
Now, how far is it written?
The additional material?
Yeah.
Written up through the end of World War I. It goes through the Civil War, up through all the inventions. I'll be talking to Capitol soon about maybe doing the rest of those albums. But I think I may want to produce it first as a stage show. And having come off this book tour around America and seen long lines of people standing, not only with books to be autographed, but this album of the United States of America under their arm, my God, just, I get tears in my eyes just remembering it. I can't believe how many thousands of people have bought this album, cherished it, and loved it all these years. So, hey, why wouldn't those people come to see a stage version of this thing? And that's the thing that I was going to do with David Merrick. So I just decided, I told my wife, hey, I'm going to do this now before I get hit by a beer truck or something.
Now, you're not still under contract to David Merrick.
No. I own all this. No, this is all published by Freeburg Music Corporation. So,
okay.
So I can do whatever I want to with it. And I think I'm going to do the stage show. Then I may do a movie of it afterward.
But no, it was cast at one point. I mean, Dorothy Loudon, it was
all
ready.
Oh, yeah, we're all ready to go. Yeah, Jesse White, Peter Leeds, we were all there in New York.
She'd be great in there.
That's right. Well, she was going to play most of the women's parts. Are you trying to get me to tell the story about David Merrick?
not if
you're discussing Lincoln.
Go ahead.
That's a quick story, yeah. Well, in the book, I talk quite a bit about David Merrick, and he hasn't, as far as I know, hasn't put a price on my head yet and threatened my publisher.
He's not well these days.
No, he's not well, but he's still feisty. Don't worry. And I wanted to write this while he was still around. Anybody can do it after somebody's gone, you know. But at any rate, we were all rehearsing at the St. James Theater, and this is after a long, long on-again, off-again experience with David Merrick, where I was really at my wit's end with this man, kept wanting to change things from day to day. Finally, he called me down to the footlights and said, Stan, and you could hear a pin drop in the theater. I said, yes. He says, take Lincoln out of the Civil War. He doesn't work. So you find yourself saying to the man, listen, you can't take Lincoln out of the Civil War. I mean, people will notice.
How did you get into advertising after all of this?
Well, I went into advertising because I wanted to finally create advertising the way I wish other people had been creating it for me. And from the first things I did, that was very successful. And the next thing I knew, I had, taken a detour into the advertising business. And it was a continuing challenge to me and a great exhilarating experience to prove that you didn't have to bludgeon people over the head to buy a product. You could actually entertain them into buying.
Contadina puts 8 great tomatoes in that little bitty can.
That's right.
They shrink them.
No, they don't shrink them.
Well, how do they get them all in there?
Well, look, there's 8 tomatoes in each can, all right, but they're not separate.
They're disillusioning.
They're blended together into a rich paste for stews, casseroles.
Somehow I imagine them huddling together in there like little red ping pong balls.
No, they give up their individual identity in a common cause to make a better tomato paste.
They sort of join together in matrimony.
Matrimony or spaghetti, either one.
Who puts 8 great tomatoes in that little bitty can?
Who puts 8 great tomatoes in that little bitty can?
Well, tell me, Mama, who puts 8 great tomatoes in that little bitty can? You know who? You know who? You know who? You know who?
In case you don't, it's Contadina tomato paste.
Was that the twist?
No, it was more like the mashed tomato.
All the gothic horror of an Anne Rice novel.
What's the matter? You've never seen a rock musician vampire before?
No, it's just you can bite that guitar all night, but I doubt you'll get any blood out of it.
The heart-stopping action of a Robert Ludlum novel.
I want names, my liebling.
Never.
The steamy sex and passion of a Judith Krantz bestseller.
My darling.
Please, Greg, you're smushing my $3,000 Christian LaCroix bubble dress.
It's Stan Freberg's It Only Hurts When I Laugh from Times Books.
Hold it. What's going on here?
We're just trying to sell your book, Mr. Freberg.
Yeah, but...
Sex, violence, that's how you sell books.
But I don't have any of that stuff in mind.
We'll just have to make do, then. No sex or violence, but Publishers Weekly says a fast and funny book. And the Washington Post says, if you've been longing for a Freberg fix, this is it.
Huh.
Stan Freberg's It Only Hurts When I Laugh, a Can't Put It Down release from Times Books.
You can put it down if you want to, folks.
Okay, but I don't know how you expect to sell any books this way.
I had a client called the Butternut Coffee Company, and they wanted to make their entrance into Southern California, making some kind of noise, and so I decided, well, why just do a normal one-minute commercial? Why not do a longer commercial that will... get people's attention and so forth. So it started out originally to be about a three-minute commercial. Then I said, no, no good. It's going to end up 5 minutes, I know, because it was a whole little musical capsule. I mean, it was my capsulated version of Oklahoma with an exclamation mark, except this was Omaha, where they made butternut coffee.
Probably the only commercial ever to have its own overture.
That's right. An overture. When we got all through, Billy May made an overture out of this original songs I'd written for this thing. Anyhow, finally timed out in about 6 minutes and 38 seconds. In this book, I talk about how I finally got it on the air in Los Angeles, and it was, you know, did a terrific job for the Butternut Coffee Company. We ran it immediately following the Dodger game every day on KMPC, and we ran ads in the theater section of the LA Times saying, you know, be sure and listen to, you know, the original cast recording of Omaha every day, you know, after the Dodgers.
Say, what city makes over 300 collections of Daily Mail from 601 street collection boxes?
Omaha!
And if you wanted to hit America right smack in the breadbasket, where would you hit her?
Omaha!
And what is Omaha spelled backwards?
Awesome!
Everybody.
Hi, Biff.
We thought maybe you weren't going to make the weenie bake.
What? Not make the weenie bake? Say, that'd be the day when I'd miss the weenie bake in Omaha.
Well, gee, what's so hot about Omaha?
What? Who are you?
I'm a stranger in town.
Well, listen, stranger in town, you ought to try living here. It'd very likely put the roses back in your cheeks.
Listen, when I want any roses in my cheeks, I'll let you know. Besides, what do they got in Omaha?
What do they got in Omaha?
What do they got in Omaha that they haven't got in other cities?
They got happier people.
Look at those happy people. Happier 'cause they live in Omaha.
What do you see in Omaha that you never see in other cities?
You see whistling people.
Whistling 'cause they live in Omaha. Come on along, they got the world's best beef and shoot. They got the prettiest girls to boot, and you could join Ex-Arvin, boy.
That's Nebraska backwards, boy. What did I do in Omaha that I never did in other cities. I just settled down here.
Brother, they got some town here.
Take it from me, you'd love to stay and
spend your pay and make some hay in Omaha.
Yeah, but that's not what I meant. I mean, they must have something else in Omaha besides what you mentioned, some special...
As a matter of fact...
Hi, Biff.
Hello, you little minx. Penny for your thoughts.
Well, I was just wondering what sort of special...
Not you, her.
I was thinking, isn't it a lovely moon tonight?
Yes, Julie. Back here, we call it an Omaha moon.
Yeah, but...
Omaha moon, keep shining. On Omaha, keep shining down.
We'd like it if you wouldn't shine on Council Bluffs, or for that matter, any other town.
Omaha moon, we heard that you shined on Cedar Rapids last June.
We'll thank you to remember that you are a one-town moon.
Listen, try not to burst into song every time I ask you a question, will you? Besides, why should the moon only shine on Omaha?
Because Omaha is the home of delicious...
Biff! Oh, Biff! I hope we'll always be this happy.
Happiness is not a sometime thing in Omaha.
Oh, no.
Omaha, sing on for Omaha. Lift up your throat and shout hooray for the geographical center of the USA. Come on and live it up in Omaha. We don't mean Wichita, we mean the town that is true blue. And we're here to stay. Uncle Omaha wants you. Head up today. And when your way to
Yeah, but it must be difficult to sing and be carried around in the air at the same time.
It is. You can put me down now, Julie. There we go.
Wait a minute. Once and for all, why make such a production out of Omaha?
Because Omaha is the... You sure you want to know?
Yes.
Because Omaha is the home of delicious butternut, the Midwest's favorite coffee. That's why you ought to live here.
No, thanks. I like it in Southern California.
You do? Why?
Because I can get butternut coffee right in Los Angeles.
You can? Hooray for Los Angeles.
You mean hooray for butternut.
Hooray for butternut.
And what is butternut spelled backward?
Tonritub.
I forget how we get out of this.
We sing the songs again, only this time, instead of saying Omaha, we say butternut.
Backward?
Forward.
Butternut, sing up for butternut. Lift up your throat and shout hooray.
Butternut moon, keep shining. What do they got in Omaha that they also got in California?
They got butternut coffee. Try it and you will always stay with. Start your day with. Shout hooray with.
Boy, what a wonderful plug for butternut. Why don't we turn the whole thing into a commercial?
Not long enough.
This song, Omaha Moon, was actually played at your wedding?
Yeah, that's right. you've read the book.
I have.
Good.
Read
that's
the book.
That's a check on this. I'm glad to see that you have, Bob. We just slipped the, I slipped the organist, the sheet music, to Omaha Moon, and suddenly, you know, after all these beautiful songs she was playing, typical songs at somebody's wedding. Why, just before the wedding march, she went into Omaha moon, keep shining, on Omaha, keep shining, down, down, etc. About 2 years ago, the National Association of Broadcasters asked me to do anything I wanted to do to show as an example of the greatness of radio. I mean, how radio really is literally the theater of the mind. And so my son is here with me today, by the way.
Donovan.
Say hi, Donovan.
Hello.
Donovan here is walking around inside the theater of my mind.
Now, you walked in. You walked through your father's mind and have lived to survive it.
Yes. Almost didn't get out of there, but I managed to escape.
Well, let's listen to that.
I'm just sort of walking around here inside the theater of my mind.
How did I get in here?
I put you in here. That's the nice thing about radio. I can put anything I want in here. Watch out for those elephants.
That was close. Watch yourself. You almost stepped in front of that train.
I saw it coming, actually.
Is that a merry-go-round over there by those Inca ruins?
Yes, it is.
Well, what do you mean that's the nice thing about radio?
Well, unlike, say, TV, which is at the mercy of the size of the screen, you know, the monitor of our head is limitless.
I get it.
Like that giant pterodactyl over there taking a bite out of the Superdome.
That's neat.
Send the synthesizer players in, will you?
Come on in. Thanks for helping me reappreciate radio. I gotta play this back on my Walkman.
Excuse me?
Yeah?
You left the door to my mind open.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Presented by the National Association of Broadcasters.
You're responsible for some really memorable campaigns. I think my favorite was the Gypsy Strike.
Oh, you mean for the Salada Tea Company?
Right.
Yeah, thanks. Well,
can you tell that story briefly?
Yeah, well, I decided that after I was hired by the Salada Tea Company, I decided that one of the problems was people in America did not let the tea steep long enough in the cup. You know, they wanted to just dangle it in there in a tea bag quick, dangle, 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 and get this orange-colored hot water, right? So they said to me, well, that's one of our problems. People, American tea drinkers, don't let it steep in the water. So I thought, well, how do I get the people to sit there long enough to let the tea develop into a cup of tea? So I thought, well, maybe we'll give them a little reading material, right? So we printed fortunes on the tags of the tea bags. So I thought, well, now who would get upset about this? Naturally, somebody that I made up called the American Federation of Gypsies. So that thing escalated in my mind. Pretty soon I got these people running full-page ads in the New York Times and the Boston Globe saying, who threw the gypsies out of work? You know, this ad published in the public interest by the American Federation of Gypsies, Local 47. You know? So, man, I mean, that thing really escalated. And on the radio I had strike commercials, you know, where all these gypsies were getting together. And finally, the New York Times sent a woman all the way out to Woburn, Massachusetts to investigate the gypsy strike. And she was not overly thrilled when she found out that the whole thing was just a great piece of hype by Freeburg, you know.
Are you listening up there, you Salada Tea Tycoons? Stick your heads out the factory window. The gypsies have something to say to you.
We're listening.
All right, hit it, Sasha.
A fox upon their company called Salada for putting fortunes on their tanks. It was bad enough with bags.
What do you mean, bad enough with bags?
Well, how's a person supposed to read tea leaves under those rather awkward conditions?
About all you can do is hold the wet bag up to the light or fake it, relying strictly on your woman's intuition. Pity the poor gypsy, telling fortune from a tea bag.
Oh, that's the hard way.
Pity the poor gypsy, since Salada came along.
Since Salada came along. Wasn't it enough that they put Salada tea leaves
in a tea bag? Why did they add insult to injury with fortune?
On their tea tag.
Pity the poor gypsy, trying to make an honest shackle.
Reading tea leaves.
How can we keep working with Salada horning in?
How can we keep from holding our tent with all this trickery afoot? Why did they have to go and put those crummy fortunes on their tags?
They done us wrong.
Pity the poor gypsy, since Salada came along.
in their pot and brew it.
King Jakes!
Hold! An elderly gentleman approaches with a white flag on his cane.
Wait, can't we talk this thing over?
Who are you?
I'm Granddaddy Salada. I might ask, who are you, building campfires all over our parking lot, waving picket signs?
The AF of G, Local 42.
Hooray for the AF of G!
Hooray for the AF of who?
Hooray for the A, for the AF of G!
The American Federation of Gypsies.
We set up gypsies, are we?
Clear the pike.
We're on strike.
Balalaika, guns on high.
Try and keep us from our duty. We're union and we're snooty. And did we mention we're mad? How dare you hustle our clientele?
That's both a miss and indiscreet.
Unfair, when you know perfectly well.
We're working this side of the street. Three cheers for the ears with the rings.
Things look dismal for the gypsy, from Frisco to Poughkeepsie, and that's why we think it today.
Hey!
Although it may not be the kind of things a lot of tea executives like.
Tough tea bags.
The American Federation of Gypsies are on strike.
So I gather. But look, when we put the fortunes and wise sayings on the tags of our Salada tea bags, we didn't realize anybody would mind.
Mind? Huh. Think of the tea leaf readers you threw out of work.
Yes, what did you want to do that for?
Just a little reading material while folks sit there waiting for the world's finest cup of tea to brew. Is that bad?
It is for us. People used to come to gypsies to get their fortunes told. Now you've eliminated the middleman.
Yeah. Yeah, no, wait, I got an idea. How would all you gypsies like to come to work for Salada?
What?
I'll bet you the tea leaf reading biz has fallen off lately anyhow.
Yes, we're down about 40% from last year.
Well, there you go. With your knowledge of tea, you'll help us make sure only the larger, more mature leaves go in Salada tea bags. We'd be proud to have you aboard.
Sounds pretty good to me. No more poking around in the bottom of a wet cup.
No more smacking our knees and elbows with a tambourine. Ha! That's smart.
Yes, but it does. So, why don't you settle down here in Woburn, Massachusetts? As good a place as any for a gypsy to hang his bandana.
Woburn. It has a nice ring to it.
Woburn, Woburn, we lift our cups to thee, the home of S-A-L-A-D.
Hey!
Hey! Woburn, Woburn, our hearts are bound to thee, with a tea-tag. Corporation, together with the station, has brought you the preceding brew.
And brother, if you haven't had the chance to dangle you a Salada tea bag lately,
there's a beautiful cup of tea in store for you.
Well, Stan, thanks so much for taking so much time with us. It really has been a joy over the past 4 weeks to have you down here and go through some of these records and stories. Obviously, it goes without saying there are many more stories in the book. It Only Hurts When I Laugh, highly recommended and available at bookstores, good bookstores near you.
Thank you. Well, and I guarantee you that the next volume of my memoirs will be out, because if it isn't, there's a man in a dark suit named Lenny will show up from a certain division of Random House and somehow extract the book out of me.
Thanks.
Don't
again,
worry.
Stan.
Yeah, thanks, Bob. Thanks for having me here, and I hope to be back soon.
Well, that's going to have to wrap up this edition of Funny Stuff. I know I gave sort of short shrift to the United States of America, but without playing the whole thing, it would always have to be short shrift. And it's being re-released on CD. The release date is very soon. It's April 12th. So go out and get it. It's the whole thing is great. Anyhow, special thanks for these shows go out to Stan Freeberg, who was a real good guy. A real good guy, and especially a good guy about putting up with our overheated little studio here. Didn't complain. And Donna Freeberg, his wife and producer, who was very helpful, and Donovan Freeberg, his son, Diane Faust, Suzanne Wickham of Times Books, Eric Myers, and Bob Carlson of KCRW for their engineering assistance and general good humor, Brian Burney of A1 Record Finders for the loan of some rare and precious stuff, and special thanks go out to two listeners, Rob Hummel and Tina Farley, who rescued tapes of these commercials from a radio station that was about to throw them out many years ago and got copies of them to me so that they could be included in this program. Thanks to you, Rob and Tina. And that's going to have to do it for the Friday night editions of Funny Stuff, but I hope you'll follow me to Sunday nights at 10:30. This Sunday night, we'll start off the series with a two-part show on Tom Lehrer. Sunday nights at... I'm going to have to get used to this. Sunday nights at 10:30. So until then, this is your host, Bob Claster, thanking you for listening and reminding you to always keep that sense of humor well exercised, because you never know. Somebody's going to move you to Sunday nights, and you're really going to need it. Have a great weekend, everybody. Bye-bye.